heart doctor came in. They're going to do ablation on the lower part of his heart. And, of course, you know, they're always talking about the risk, you know, with his, you know, things that's been going on with him. And the heart doctor told Gwen that it would be anywhere from a 4 to 6 hour surgery. And that he would go in intensive care and probably be on a ventilator.
Okay.
And so I just thought, nah, we're not receiving none of that.
This is not their first rodeo with this stuff.
So I called, and he had just gotten back to the room.
The room, not the intensive care.
The room, no ventilator.
Praise God.
And the six-hour surgery was 2 hours.
2 hours.
And the doctor came in, the heart doctor that did the surgery, and said that it went, he just could not believe how good it went, way better than he ever anticipated.
Praise God.
And that they addressed three spots, burned off three spots, and then they tried to get his heart out of rhythm so that they could check and said it would not go out of rhythm.
Praise God.
Woo-hoo. He's going home tomorrow.
Coming home tomorrow.
Thank you,
yes. Man, he is a miracle man.
He is.
Praise God. Praise God. Who else got some good news?
Some of y'all know my mother-in-law. We took her to the hospital last Thursday. She was been sick all week long, couldn't breathe. And the doctor said that she had a slight heart attack. A slight, I don't know what that means. Heart attack is a heart attack to me.
Yeah, that's
and
pretty important.
Had damage. The echocardiogram showed damage. She was in the CCU step down. And they, when they got her more stable, her blood sugar was like 470. Her blood pressure was too high. When they got her stable and she stayed that way, they moved her to the cardiac floor and they did a heart cath Monday morning.
Okay.
Well, I rebuked it. I rebuked all of that stuff that God, the doctor was saying.
Right.
And I got on the phone and got some people praying, and they did the heart cath and didn't find not one thing wrong with her heart.
She came home that afternoon.
She came home the next day.
The next day.
Yes, she came home yesterday.
Well, didn't show any damage or anything?
No damage, no blockage, no nothing.
Take that, devil.
The doctor said her heart was smaller than normal people's, that she was just born that way, but she's a little tiny woman, so.
Yeah, well.
But she's fine, praise God.
Praise God. Wow, let's give the Lord a big amen for that. Someone else have some good news? You? Okay, baby.
I can write my name.
You can write your name.
My last name.
Write your last name?
Wow.
Wow. That is very impressive.
I learned it at school.
She learned it at school?
That is great. That's right, baby. That is awesome.
Anything else?
Anything else? Okay, what else?
I can write my first name and then my middle name.
You write your first name, your middle name, and last name.
All three names.
Wow. That's
great.
There's some folks in here if it was third grade before they could do that. Peggy, we have a witness here tonight. Says Peggy can't do that now.
She did get her assessment stuff back, and she did so good. Like, you know.
Well, we know she's smart.
Like,
my goodness. Yeah. We got an Israelite lady in the restroom back here. I'm telling you what. Absolutely. Absolutely. We need to. Yeah. Come on.
I got something I need to tell you.
All right.
I wasn't planning on being here tonight. I had, because of the storms coming up, I said, well, I'm going to get my deer hunting in. Well, when Maggie died, Tim told us that he had a dream that she got to come back for 24 hours.
Yeah.
And he told me, Margaret and Ashley, this at our house, and I said, well, I just wish I would have a dream like that. And Ashley did, too.
Yeah.
So I waited and nothing. And I didn't think about it much.
Yeah.
And so Tuesday morning, I planned to go not go deer hunting. So Margaret got up to go do what she was going to do. And she turned the light on the bathroom. She said, "You want me to close this door?" And I said, "Nah, I'm on." So I just turned over and listened to David Jeremiah a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she went on left, and I went to sleep. And I dreamed that Tim is the only one I recognize in this whole dream other than Maggie. And Tim's going to put me in the nursing home.
Oh, man.
For some reason.
Start out as a nightmare.
And I was arguing with him, and I said, "No, you're not going to do that." And he said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Then you need to go." So he left, and I was going to slip out to the cabin and hide from him. So I went out and sat down and on the sofa, and there was somebody sitting by me, and I don't remember. It wasn't vivid in the dream, but I saw an ambulance pull up in front of the cabin. Two guys got out, male nurses, with a straitjacket.
Oh, man.
I said, "That we ain't doing this." So they come in, and Tim came in with them. And he walked over. I was sitting on the sofa. He walked over and said, "All right, Daddy." I said, "Tim, I'm not going." He said, "Daddy, you got to go." So I just looked down, and when I looked up, there stood Maggie.
Wow.
Exactly. The last time I saw her, she had on a pair of black leggings and a red T-shirt. And her face, I know all you know that she was going through a little period with acne.
Yeah.
Bad, but she was being treated for it. And I'd always pump her up, tell her how much better it looked.
Sure.
But her face was as clear as the sky.
Praise God.
And her hair was just exactly like I remember it being. And I looked up, and when I saw her, she said, "Don't worry, Pop."
Just like her.
"They're not putting you in the nursing home." She said, "If they try, you can come live with me." So I looked up at her, and she reached down to hug me, and I reached up to hug her, and I was going to kiss her on the cheek, and I woke up.
Oh, my.
And I said, "God, you have just, I didn't pray for this. I just didn't feel like it was nothing that, but."
Well, that's how much he loves you.
Well, the desire of your heart.
Exactly.
And, you know, something, I don't know who this is for. It might not be for anybody here, but I was planning on deer hunting, and I love to deer hunt.
Yeah.
But at about 7 o'clock last night, I called my first cousin on the way home, and I said, "I'm not hunting tomorrow afternoon." And I didn't know why, but that's why.
You knew why. That was a divine appointment set up for you. Let's give the Lord a great hallelujah. Amen. Hand clap for that. Wow. Anyone else? You got some good news, Lynn?
I had to have this nerve block done again, and it turned out really good. I seen myself letting Dan and Jimmy pray for me Sunday, and it just went smooth as silk.
Praise God.
I had a little blood pressure problem, but I've been having that. But I went through the deal good.
Amen.
Really good. Better than I have anything.
Yeah. You're a healed man.
Amen.
Yes, you are. You are. Did I have some? Keith.
I got two reports. One, that we received a check last week for $300 from the doctor's office. We overpaid.
Praise God.
And the best one is that almost as near as the time I told you about Sarah Beth, Peggy being pregnant with Sarah Beth. All my life, my mom took me to church. And Sunday afternoon, my dad called and told me, he said, he got saved.
Woo-hoo-hoo! Thank you, Lord.
You know, when we used to have a men meeting here,
yeah.
I know Larry probably remember. Me and Larry prayed about Daddy
several
different times.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes prayers don't get answered right then, but
right.
They do get answered.
They do get answered. That's right. Man, y'all, we need to. Come on, Bertie.
Well, y'all know I went here Sunday morning. My nephew got baptized.
Praise God.
And we met up at Food Giant. It was 6 cars, 17 people. We almost went to West Point. But it was good to be in the line of cars and not going to no funeral.
Yeah.
Going to a living.
Yes.
But when we got there, when they got to baptize there, all the family come up. when we got the march up, the man said, "What is a mass choir?" But, it was 17 of us left Oklahoma, and about 10 more down than when we got there.
Wow.
But it was a blessing. I told his mama, I said, he look around and see all of us. He going to know what he's doing is very important.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Verdell. That's great to support these young people. Anyone else? Come on over there, Darrell.
God is crossing denominational, religious, yes. political lines.
Yes.
He's all over the place. I transport vehicles for a living. That's what I do. So I'm in Idaho, Wyoming, California, wherever. And I was on an airplane going to Salt Lake City, and I was sitting next to a gentleman who's he's a Mormon. And we just started talking, and he said, you know, I was sharing my life and my testimony of how I got born again and how things God has been doing. And he says, wow, that's pretty cool. He says, I love God. You know, I love the Lord, and I'm a Christian. And he pulled out his Mormon book, Bible, but he also had the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, right here, I've accepted Jesus. And it really, it kind of blew my mind because there's been such a connotation about Mormons and different religions and stuff.
Right.
And so we got ready to get off the plane. I said, well, who's picking you up? And he said, well, my wife. He said, well, what are you doing? I said, I'm just going to go get a hotel till tomorrow. He said, how about you come and stay with me? And so initially I'm thinking, well, this guy doesn't know me. I don't know him. And the Holy Spirit said, go.
Yeah.
I'm an evangelist by nature.
Right.
So that's what evangelists do.
That's right.
And so I went to his home. They fed me breakfast the next morning, made sure the temperature was great. And he said, I want you to come back in March, and I want you to minister to my Bible study fellowship of Mormons.
Oh, wow.
That's my Jesus. Yeah. You're exactly right there. I mean, those kinds of things are happening all over the globe. And we won't ever hit on the news. We may not even. But right. God is doing things. Yeah. Right here in Oklahoma.
Yes,
like Sunday night, we had like probably 50-50. It was a wonderful time. We had communion together. And had a good time. Praise God. Anyone else? Wow.
What he just spoke about. Jesus crossing denominations and religions and all that. My grandparents passed away in 2001 within just a couple months of each other. And I grieved so hard. They were like my parents because I was the oldest grandchild.
Yeah.
And my mother was the oldest of seven. And I grieved so hard for my grandparents. And they were Catholic. And one of their children, my aunt, who is Baptist now, grew up Catholic but is Baptist now, decided that they were in hell and called me crying about it and was worried about it. And I said, no, they're not. And Nanny died in September. In October, it's such a blessing. I was sitting there and I was watching my daughter. She was in the floor. She was five at the time. And she was playing with her Barbies. And she looked up at me and she said, Mama, why are you smiling at me? And she said, is it because you love me? Mm. And then her whole countenance changed. This five-year-old child, she said, or is it because your grandparents are in a wonderful place in heaven? Whoa. I still grieved. I still missed them, but that pain was gone.
Went away.
And this goes along with what Larry was talking about. There's been many times I have dreamed that I hugged my grandparents and they were talking to me.
Right.
And I felt my grandmother. I was cooking. She was cooked Italian food, you know, just.
Yeah.
And I was cooking at the stove one day, and I felt her so strong. I turned around and I said, Nanny.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think God gives us that.
He does.
To he get does. Us through until we see them again.
He does.
So don't just assume, you know, don't just assume somebody's in hell because they're not a.
No.
They're not a something or another.
Right, right. It's all about the heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
And nobody knows what the other person's heart. Yeah. Right. Call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Right. You know, we have to watch that kind of stuff. Peggy?
I was going to say, this goes on the lines of what Keith was testifying to about his dad and what she was testifying about our grandparents. When my daddy died, I had talked to him about Jesus, and I never knew whether he had accepted him. So when Keith's daddy called that day to tell us that he had been saved, you know, I can remember when daddy died, the grief was too much to bear to think that he didn't go to heaven. It was too tormenting to me.
Yeah.
And what Keith's daddy did to call him and tell him, that's the best inheritance you could leave your children.
Yes.
Is to let them know that you're in heaven. There's nothing they can, but God, he dealt with me, and it took about three times. And the last time that he confirmed it with me that daddy was in heaven, I sealed it. It's never been taken away from me again. Nothing can take that away from me. But I sat here one day, and it was probably about 3 or 4 months after he'd passed away, and the devil would come back after God would give that to me, and he would steal that away from me. Mm-hmm. And the grief was just too much. It was the grief was overwhelming. And I was sitting in here, and I asked God, I said, just let me know. Just let me know. And I had grieved so bad, Keith had bought me the CD, and it was called Welcome Home by Michael Smith. And I wouldn't tell him how many times I would listen to it. I would listen to it probably 10 times a day, that one song. And I wouldn't tell him because I thought he would say, this is unhealthy. You shouldn't be. But everybody grieves differently, and it took me a long time. But I was sitting here one day, and you were preaching, and you said, I don't know who this is for. And I was reminded when you told him that, too. But he said, God said, welcome home.
Wow.
And that word was, he said, I don't know if it's for more than one person, but somebody says, God says, welcome home. And that sealed it that day. And so just, you know, knowing, and it may be a life lived when you let your kids know where you are. I mean, nothing monetary, nothing you could leave them, nothing you work for.
Right.
Can give them the peace to know that you're in heaven.
Right. Whew. Wow. Glory to God. Glory to God. When these things happen, anyone else?
Yeah.
Anne's got something.
One won't mind me telling this, but when Chuck died, we were on the way to their house, and wasn't for sure then that he was dead or had gone to heaven. And I was saying, you know, God, how in the world can we continue to preach faith and long life, and Chuck died and be took out that quickly? How can we continue? How can we continue as pastors at Faith Outreach? Because that's not the outcome. This is the coolest thing. He said, if it hadn't have been for Faith Outreach, Chuck wouldn't be with me now. So it just... Not that we didn't grieve and hurt and wanted, everybody did, but it was such a peace, so peace. And this is, I know other people have wondered this, or maybe you hadn't, I don't know. But I know Carolyn has, and I know Wanda has, because we've talked about it before. But I had prayed, I said, God, I believe that when your funeral is so good, I believe God lets you see it. I just believe that, you know. And it gives me peace about it. Well, I prayed that day. I said, God, if Chuck is seeing all this crowd and all these people, I said, will you just let a flower fall off or something be that I can notice a flower? Well, dear God, when Jimmy gets up there, his boutonniere is turned upside down. And this is literally the truth. We tracked flowers, pieces of flowers, all the way out to the casket when they were taking him. That's how good God is. He gets on our level.
Right.
And Keith, I'm thrilled about your daddy.
Yes, sir.
That is awesome. Your mama, I know, is shouting hallelujah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Wow. Only thing, our funerals have been
quite special.
Quite special. We just had too many.
He's an idiot. Yeah.
Right. Right. The devil's got another headache after tonight.
That's my share. Our wife died. You know, I had to take care of it.
Yeah.
No baby.
Just everything.
Yeah.
But I'd help him get in the tub, and then he would bathe. But I would always wash his hair, you know. And after he died, I went in the bathroom, and he was in the bathtub. I said, "What you doing?" He said, "Taking a bath." I said, "Oh, do you want me to wash your hair?" He said, "I sure do." And he looked up at me. And that was just such a blessing to me, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, you got it. This, we're having us a Holy Ghost rodeo tonight. Hallelujah.
One of the most special things that ever happened in this church to me is the day that my brother walked down this aisle before he went to, he received his ticket to heaven that day.
Yeah.
And praise God, it was such a God thing the way he came to be here that day.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it in my whole life. No. And he came to know the Lord that day and walked the aisle from right there down there.
Yeah.
And God is so amazing.
Yes, he is amazing.
So much.
He is so amazing.
He's so awesome. And it's just so special to know that that my brother, who had never been here before, came to Faith Outreach and got saved.
I tell you, he's amazing. God is amazing. I tell you. Yeah.
I get home, my phone rang, his name threw up. His friend called me when we be walking the funeral, but I said, "Chuck, he left me there, brother, to my phone."
I can see him laughing, can't you? That Chuck would love to, Chuck Fitzgerald would love to pick on everybody.
Yeah.
He was, we miss them all. I was thinking today, you know, about living for God and stuff, but what he gives us is eternity. That's what he has to offer, is eternity. You can live to be 120. That's just a blink of the eye compared to eternity. And to think that he's going to give us eternity together. I mean, and you know, I had this thought too. You can see my mind runs really deep sometimes. But people get so excited about going to Disney World. They see all this stuff. Let me tell you, Disney World is going to be like nothing compared to heaven. Amen. If we get excited about heaven like we do going to Disney World, like Sarah Beth going to Disney World.
I'm going to Disney World. And at school today, my teacher, Anna Kate, she called a bear. It was our friend. Classroom. A bear.
A bear in the classroom? Wow.
Yes, ma'am.
That's right. Praise
my
God.
Goodness, baby.
It was like big.
Yeah,
bigger
big.
Than me.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty big.
I mean, it's bigger than me.
I know. Wow.
What y'all do? Wait, it walked out of the classroom and it went outside our playground.
Wow. Mom and Daddy are going to be checking on this story. A real bear in your room. Okay. Glory to God. Well, Sarah Beth is definitely.
And all the kids were scared.
You were scared? Were you scared? No, not you.
It was going to bite us. Like it stand up.
It stand up?
They go
was
like
it
that.
Black? What color was it? Black?
It was both.
Both brown and black.
And my test was so good. And she did it to the principal, and it was really good, she said.
It's really interesting. She
I know it's interesting. We're all interested about you seeing a bear.
Yeah.
I mean, it was big.
It was big. Wow.
And it was right there by the door, and it shut the door.
It shut the door? Wow. Man. We might start praying more for your scope.
The bear was like, bigger than a church.
Bigger than a church? That's a big bear.
That was really, really big.
Was that the end of your story?
Uh-uh. Oh. And we made puppet bears.
Puppet bears?
Puppet bears.
Oh. I wanted to go to your school. A lot of fun.
You did to do activities. You did to paint. You did to play centers.
Did you hear that?
No, I didn't understand.
You get to paint. You get to do activities.
And you did to color.
Color? I like to color. I can even stay in the lines. I'm a good color.
And it has home living. It has cars. It has blocks. It has all that.
All kinds. You're going to enjoy it.
I'm going to enjoy it. Wow.
And
just can't wait for you to get to be a senior. No telling what you're going to have.
And then I'll be bored.
Yeah, you'll be bored. Huh?
You really will.
Speaking of testimonies and miracles, you're hearing one in live time right here. She is definitely a miracle girl. Okay, let's see. Where are we? Not time to go. That was, what a wonderful time.
God told me on the way tonight, he said, it will be very different than
Elizabeth. Wow. Wow. Use the microphone, baby. Use the microphone.
Tonight, God said, church will be real great tonight, and I will use many people.
Well, if you're feeling impressed to share something, you need to obey the Lord. Because this is precious times. You just don't generate this kind of an atmosphere and these kind of stories. Sharon's got something. Let me borrow your microphone, baby. Yes, you do. We need to get all this on TV.
Freddie does have a testimony.
Freddie's got a great testimony.
He come up Sunday for prayer for his cousin. Double pneumonia, and he was not doing good at all.
Right.
Well, he got to go home yesterday from the hospital.
Praise God. God is good.
But I was going to tell you, you know, I was like Peggy. I was wondering about my daddy's salvation,
too. Sure.
And one day I was outside, and I looked at clouds a lot. And I saw this funny-looking cloud, and I took a picture of it. And when I did, I looked at the phone, and it was my daddy in the clouds, his face.
Yeah.
I showed it to Carolyn.
Yeah.
And that gave me peace right there.
Yes, sir.
When
yes,
I saw
sir.
That.
God don't have to speak loud to get your attention. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Let me give this to Danny. Okay. Praise God. There you go, Danny.
A lot of theologians have real problems with deathbed confession, but I don't.
No.
My sister-in-law, my brother's wife, her father was he was dying at North Mississippi Medical Center, and he was dying, and it would be just any time. They asked me to go and witness to him, the family did, and I did. And we talked for a while, and then I began to talk to him about the Lord, about being born again. And after we talked for a while, I asked him, I said, do you want that blessed assurance to know that if you were to leave this world today, that you would be in heaven? And he said, I sure would. And so we prayed, and he asked Jesus to come in his heart, and he was saved. And then after that, when other family members would come in to see him, he would tell them, you know, that he was saved. You know, that
praise God.
And so that was very comforting to the family.
Yes.
But also in regards to my mom, like Ann was saying, you know, Lord, I don't understand this. We pray and we pray and we try to live by faith, but it seems like my mom just gets worse and worse, and she had Alzheimer's disease. And, you know, I'd always say, you know, she, bless her heart, she's so confused. She don't know if she was getting on the elevator or getting off the elevator because she was so confused. But when my mom died, you know, it was like God gave me the comfort to know that, hey, I did heal your mom.
Yeah.
Because she does have the mind of Christ.
Yes.
She is got perfect memory.
Yes.
And she's no longer confused.
Right.
So I don't have any problem with the, you know, deathbed stuff.
No, me either.
I know where my mom is.
You
I know
bet.
Where my sister-in-law's daddy is. So
praise God. I'm telling you, this is what it's all about. This is real stuff here. Amen. Well, my dad, age 62, had a heart attack. He'd had several before. And I got there that morning, and I said, Dad's going to be okay. He's sitting on the side of the bed. The ambulance was there. And because, like I said, we've been through this several times. And I said, it's going to be okay. He said, no, son, I think this is it. I didn't know what to say to do, but he was calm as a cucumber, as we say. I said, well, Daddy, I love you, and because they were fixing to get him out. And he said, I love you too. And then he got an ambulance, and my cousin was one of the paramedics or whatever it is. And he asked him, said, where's Doris? And that's my mom. And he said, well, she's in the kitchen. She's fine. He said, well, tell her I love her. And he was gone. They tried to get him back. He wouldn't stay back. He wanted to go home. He knew it was his day. And then, but the thing that, you know, you in circles like this, it's time that we need, it's good that we can share things because we understand. You know, you get out here in the world and say things and people, eh. But anyway, the doctor came in and told us that he was gone. And he asked my mom and my sister if they want to go down and see him. They said no. And he looked at me and I said, I do. And I'll never forget, two of my good buddies, Danny Dabbs and Carol Pettigrew, walking me down the aisle back to where he was. And it was like a mule kicked me in the gut. And all the air left my body. I went to the floor. And they picked me up. And I got back there, and there he was, laying on that bed. And I didn't, like you, I really didn't ask for this. It just happened. And I knew he was in heaven. There was no question to me that where he was. But, you know your parents' voice and how they would say something, you know. And he said, I heard him say, just as clear as a bell, he said, I'm okay. I'm fine. Just like I've heard him say it a million times. And it just gave me instant peace. But I mean, I had peace, but it was just an extra blessing. And so anyway, we all have some tremendous stories, but share them when you can. And it builds you up. It builds your faith up. It builds other people's faith up. Nothing much stronger than a testimony. I mean, when you have a personal experience you're looking at right here, I'm a miracle or whatever, it carries a lot of weight. And so anyway, anyone else have anything you want to share? Jeanette. Should have handed out Kleenex tonight, I think. You're on.
When my daddy passed away, before he passed away, he had been sick. He had been in the hospital at the point of death several times. But anyway, before he died, I knew he was, you know, his condition was getting worse and worse. And I went to see, he didn't go to church. He used to go to church when he was younger. He went to church when we were small and everything. And then he started working a job that he worked on Sundays. And then he started working night shifts. But anyway, he was never in church and never, you know, talked about the Bible or God or anything. But he always liked, he loved gospel singing and stuff, and he loved the pastor at Center Hill Church, which is pretty close to his house. He always liked him, and he would talk to him at the cafe. And he always, you know, trusted in him. So when Daddy was real sick and everything, I went and stopped by one day and asked the pastor would he go and visit my daddy and asked him, you know, did he,
yeah,
you know, was sure that it, when something happened to him, that he would go to heaven. So I never did know that he went. He told me he would. But when Daddy passed away at the funeral, he told the congregation that I had gone by to visit him, and he went to see him, and he told him that he was ready. And that was a comfort, you know, to me, because Daddy was a real quiet person. He never talked about the Lord or, you know, anything. He wasn't real open and showing his affection or anything. You could ask him something, and if he didn't want to answer, you know, he'd just nod his head or grin, you know. But when he passed away, it hurt me so bad, because I thought he was the only one that I had left, because I had lost my mother. Wayne hadn't passed away yet. But anyway, I just remember standing in his casket, and I just talked to him and talked to him and talked to him. But it hurt me so bad. That was about the only one with my sister-in-law, and my brother had a wreck, and she was killed instantly. That was the only person in our family that had really passed away, yeah, you know, a young age. And it took me forever to get over, you know, a sudden death like that. And to see my brother laying there in the hospital crying and wanting to know why, you know, this happened, because they had only been married like 3 months.
Yeah.
And anyway, the Lord had just, but when he passed away, you know, the Lord let me know by the pastor saying that, you know, sure, he had been to him, and that he was in heaven. And then when Wayne, my brother, I took care of him when he was sick and everything, and he was at the point of death several times and in and out of the hospital. And he never went to church either in his adult life. But I had gotten Kenny Gardner. He was in Columbus Hospital, and I'd gotten Kenny to come talk to Wayne several times. And he had come once or twice to the hospital, and one time I got him to come when he was, you know, getting worse. And I stepped out of the room and everything. And Wayne, you know, liked Kenny, because, you know, Wayne loved to sing. Yeah. And today was his birthday.
Oh.
And he loved Elvis. He had every song Elvis ever sung, and he tried to play, to sing Elvis karaoke. But anyway, he loved Elvis. When Kenny, you know, he just loved Kenny, and I let him listen to some of his records and stuff. But anyway, Kenny said that, you know, he talked to him and everything, and said that he was ready. And, because I knew when he passed away, because I was with him when he passed away, and I knew all the time when, right at last, we was going to have to take him to the nursing home after they dismissed him from the hospital, because he didn't have any, they, you know, recommended from that. So I sent him to up at Verona, because that would be close to me, and I could go back and forth when I needed to. And that was like on a Monday, I think. I got him up there around dinner on that Monday. And he didn't even really know where he was going. He thought he was going to Vernon. I told him he was going to Verona. But he had just been real cold and just not satisfied, you know, did nothing please him. And that day when we were going up there and he got in his room, he said, the expression and stuff on his face, he just looked so much better. And he said, I should have been up here all the time. I had gone before he got there and fixed his bed for him and got his room fixed up with his pictures and everything. But anyway, when we got up there, he was just really satisfied. The next day, he just went down. He just like it just changed. And that morning, I went in to see him before I went to work, and I went on to work. And, of course, they had told me that it probably wouldn't be, you know, too long. So I said, well, I'm going to try to go to work, and I'll be back. And anyway, I had to leave. But I knew where he was.
You bet.
That he's with Daddy and Mama both now.
Yeah. Praise God.
And it was such a blessing to know.
Like I say,
when you're loved ones, it's right. So hard when you don't know.
Yes.
That, you know, it's yes. A question. Always will be a question. You wonder.
Right.
If they're going to be there.
Right.
So it's...
It's good to know.
It is. It
takes the sting out of death.
It's a...
And, you know, this is the eternal part of it. It's not like they're gone on vacation. I mean, it's done. It is a blessing. It is a blessing. Anyone else? Pam.
I just need to talk because I just know how great God is.
Amen.
And He's always so awesome and does such miraculous things when you need them the most. And, you know, I just want to go on a little bit with my story, because after my brother got saved, I was able to tell the story about him to my sister. Because I always used to fuss at my sister and tell her she needed to get to church.
Yeah.
Go to church. And we would talk, and, you know, I would talk through salvation. And I did quite in detail for 3 months after my brother gave his life to the Lord.
Right.
And then 3 months later, my sister lost her life.
Yes, she did.
Suddenly in Katrina. And I was really struggling, but the way that God did that, He put me at the point, at the very minute. It was a miracle that I walked into Long Beach, Mississippi, into complete devastation, did not know where I was,
right.
Where my sister lived. You couldn't tell. It was devastation. I got there at the moment that they found her body. I got out of the car with my friend, and I said, thank you, Lord. And I didn't, later I thought, well, why did I say that? Because, you know, I just was there. I didn't know until 1 month after they found her that was her and that I was there at that moment.
At that moment.
But God assured me, because the morning of her funeral, I was by myself getting ready, and God spoke to me, and He said, I met her at that moment, at that place, at that moment. And I didn't like to give that testimony to a lot of people, because a lot of people doubt salvation at that moment.
Right.
But I know what God said.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know how awesome God is. Amen. And right. How He speaks to us.
Right.
And He reassured me that day.
Right.
And because she heard the word.
Yes, she did.
And she is in heaven with
and
here years later, last year at a family reunion, my niece came up to me and she said, this is her daughter. And she said, you always told mother it was a matter of the heart. And she remembers it too.
Glory to God.
What Pam said and what Danny said about deathbed confession and being, I had that problem. That was the first time God ever spoke to me of the three times. I grieved so bad that morning, and there was a song playing. I was just in the living room, and I mean, my body was physically on the floor.
Yeah.
I couldn't get up. Right. And that music was playing in the background, and I was just telling God to please help me. And there was I don't know what song it was. I think it was Selah.
Yeah.
And he said something about when Jesus was on the cross. Because I knew when I got to that funeral home that people would say, when I was comforted, and I would say, Daddy's in a better place.
the devil started telling me, saying, they're going to laugh at you. They're going to say, did you know her daddy? Did you know her daddy? And so it stole that away from me. And then God spoke to me and he said, the two thieves on the cross and the one that was saved, the people would say, did you know him? When his family would go back and say, he's in heaven now. If Jesus will save
right.
that thief on the cross, at the very last minute, he'll save anybody.
Right.
And God gave me that. That was the first
That's
thing. It was very powerful.
Beautiful story.
But the devil, he tried, in your grief, when you're weak, he'll come back and he'll try to steal it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I just kept meditating on God, and he would give me the next confirmation until he sealed it.
Yeah.
And then I apologized to God. I said, I'm sorry. It took me three times for you to speak to me.
Right.
But he does hear people.
He loves us so much. And that Song of Solomon, we shared a little bit Sunday in the Passion Bible. He tells Jesus, who is the shepherd king, I think at that point, he said, you need to get rid of the compromises in your life. And we all know that. We compromise our walk with God because we'll choose a ball game or whatever. You know, we all have the compromises. And it was so precious when I read it. He was saying, and I'm going, yes, I need to deal with some compromises myself. And then the next thing he says is, in the Passion Translation is, I'll help you. I mean, that's not lip service. He'll help you.
Yeah.
And the scripture keeps coming up from all this, and we're sharing some things tonight that's very private but very powerful, and we need victory. We got victory.
Amen.
But the thing is, we look back and all these miraculous encounters we've had, however that might have been. Luke 4 says, Jesus says, I'm anointed to heal the brokenhearted. So, he's healing our broken hearts, and he'll help us. So don't be discouraged. And but stand on the word and keep going forward. And great things will come out. Grief is something we do, but it's not a pleasant place to live. We need to come out of there. And we will because of... You got something, Julie? Okay, we'll come right back to you. Okay, Julie.
There was never any question where Daddy was going when he died.
Right.
Anybody that knew him knew where he was going. but he died in an accident that I will never believe that it was his time to go.
Right, right.
So we prayed for him to be raised from the dead.
Sure.
And he didn't. But that knowing that we did what Jesus said to.
Absolutely.
Has given me comfort.
Absolutely.
For years.
Yeah. He's very much alive tonight.
He is.
He's more alive than we are.
He is.
Absolutely.
He is.
That's great. That's great. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, pray. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Isn't this beautiful?
What she said about grief.
I know, and Judy and I are very close, and she's been through a lot, too. But God just showed, I think he showed Judy just like he did me, you have to go through grief, but you can't stay there. And the reason you can't stay there is because God can't be there, because that's not of God. He's not about that. And he showed me when Chuck died, he said, and I found him out in the pasture. Some of y'all may not know that, but he's told me, he said, Wanda, do you think when he fell on that ground that was the first time I knew he was going to die? And I said, no, you know, no. Nothing is a surprise to God. But the comfort we have and the comfort Judy has is knowing where they are.
Yeah.
No right. matter what, we're going to see them tomorrow almost. Y'all know how short life is.
Right.
But then when Chuck's mama died, which she, I was real close to her, we had a grandbaby born a few days after she died. And she was real bad that night, and she was not communicating, but she did for a little bit. And I just got down over and I prayed. I said, Nana, you go hold our baby before she gets here. And I really believe she did. And I really believe that Chuck got to hold her before she came to earth, because all good things come from God.
Right.
So if you're in grief, talk to some of us, because there's nothing wrong with it.
No.
You have to go through it. But talk to some of us, because we've been there. And sometimes we go through it again. Some days is not good.
Yeah.
But God is so good.
Yes, He is.
He's good.
He is wonderful. He is wonderful. Thank all you guys. Just, you got something? Okay.
In 2007, I was in prison. And my grandpa, you know, he was my favorite. And he passed away while I was in there, so we went no last goodbyes and all that. So when I got the call, I was like shocked. But then I went to crying, but the Lord told me, He said, rejoice when one dies. I mean, yeah, rejoice
right.
when one dies.
Right.
And it just,
heaven rejoices.
It instantly, I started rejoicing.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there wasn't no doubt in my mind where he was at.
Right. Right.
And some good news. My grandma, my mom's mom, she's 83 years old. She broke a hip. Her wounds is not infected. She caught pneumonia, so she couldn't do her therapy with it. Now she's starting her therapy. So my mama spent her time up there with her Bible. My grandma, she said, ain't nobody been up here to see me in a week, and there's somebody been there every day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's 83. I'll tell you. I don't know my side of family, that side of family real well, because I've always been on my daddy's side. And just that little time in the hospital with her, it has brought me so much joy.
Yeah.
I'm talking about it. It's just,
yeah,
it was awesome.
Well, but he healed
she
us.
Is doing spectacular.
Yeah. Yeah. Praise God, y'all. Wow, wow, wow. What a time.
I don't know. She had a broke hip, set up pneumonia, and has a UTI. And she's 83. So.
And she's doing fine. I say Jesus is doing good too. Hallelujah. 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 Anybody got anything? What you got, baby? Your pop came to the hospital. Now he's home. Praise God. We're all going to be home. So excited when she heard it. Praise God. Well, they're about this far away from us. Let's hand that microphone back to Daryl, back there. Heaven is not that far away, y'all. It's just...
Oh. When you said, does anybody have anything, this scripture's just been like all night. It's just been coming up in my spirit. Revelation 12:11, where it says that they triumph over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony.
Yeah.
If that's not tonight, I don't know what is.
You're right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And you got to be a part of it, my friend. You
sir,
kicked it
yes,
off.
Yes, sir.
You kicked it off on an airplane with a Mormon. My, you couldn't write a movie like that. You cannot. Well, girls, it's good to be victorious. We got the win. We walk in power, and we're not looking forward, backwards. We're looking forward. Don't be driving through the rearview mirror. Look through the windshield, okay? Praise God. So, anyway, I just appreciate y'all so much. And I don't know, I've never been in, we've had services like this before, but tonight's just been extra powerful. And thank you all for sharing your heart, and it was for somebody. But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He healed a sick back then. He raised the dead. He did all. He's still doing it today. He healed a brokenhearted. Can you imagine that? That widow coming out of the city. Her only son, on a coffin. They carried him out, and Jesus raised him up. Well, heaven is a raising up place. And you know, sometimes I look at it. Well, man, they get to skip all this junk there and go right on to paradise. It's perfect there, you know. But anyway, we'll miss them. But they're in our future, not in our past. They're in heaven. That's right, baby. It's where we're all going, wanting to go. We'll bring those prayer requests down, and we'll pray for the prayer requests. Okay, Bill and Brianna, somebody put that on there. I got a pen. Oh, I had a pen. Oh, here's my pen. Bill and Brianna. Has anyone heard from Trinity Mooneyham today?
She got to come home. What's the last thing I saw?
Got to come home. That's a good sign. That's Fuzz and Mary Jane's granddaughter, if you don't know that. Thank you, baby. Huh? Praise God. Come on. Yeah, I've heard, I haven't watched the weather, but I've heard about it. So let's just lay our hands on here, everybody. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we lay our hands on this list of precious people's names, and Lord God, you're not surprised by any of this, but your will is for them to prosper and to be in health. So Lord, we declare them healed, whole, and well. And Lord, as we lay our hands on their names, as though we lay our hands on them, and that you say, Jesus, that they shall recover. So Lord, we thank you for full recovery, the anointing to recover, the anointing to restore, the anointing to heal and make new. We thank you for all of that. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost encounters that you've shown us all. And Lord, those precious moments when you came right along and you helped us. Lord, thank you for helping us. You're always been the helps ministry because you always help us. And Lord God, I thank you for all these things. And we rebuke these storms in the name of Jesus.
Yes, we do.
We bind them. We cast them out. They will not come here. They will not do havoc. They'll not do damage in the mighty name of Jesus. We bind the spirit of fear. But Lord God, we thank you that Jesus is Lord over Oklahoma, over all of us, and wherever we may be. Lord God, we thank you for the divine intervention of your power and your word, all in the power of your name. Lord God, we thank you that we're redeemed from the curse of the law and that we're free. And that, Lord God, that we that no demon, no storm is going to destroy us. In the mighty name of Jesus, no damage, no harm. We give you praise for it, Lord God. And we declare the blood of Jesus over all of us. And we thank you for a good outcome. And Lord, I thank you for tonight. I don't really have the words, Lord God, but you have melted our hearts tonight. And Lord God, those precious memories that the old hymn talks about, Lord God, we laugh about it a lot. But Lord, there's so much comfort in those precious memories. We always have our memories. And you almost always tell me when I do a funeral to be sure and tell the family for sure. Trust in those memories. They'll bring you, they'll work, they'll do good for you in the future. So, Lord God, we thank you that our loved ones, they may not be here with us right now physically, but they've never left us. They're on the inside of us. And, Lord God, we thank you that heaven is for all of us, waiting for all of us right now. And, Lord God, it's a better place. We give you the praise for all this tonight. And, Lord, I just thank you. I can't help get away. I can't get away from it. With all you've done tonight. What you've done for Derek, what you've done for Larry and Margaret. My goodness, to see Maggie. Woo. Such a fresh wound, but Lord, you're healing it all the time. Thank you. If she's more alive now than she'll ever be. We give you praise tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, we lift up Sunday night service with Chris. We pray, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth, and that, Lord God, we'll be helped. We give you praise for it. In the name of Jesus, Everybody said amen. 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 Woo, woo, my brother.